Welcome on board a daily adventure to discover true wisdom, authentic hope, a stronger faith, and profound joy. This is the Debbie Chavez Show.
You're the shining star, no matter who you are. Shining bright to see, what you can truly be, what you can truly be.
Welcome, friends and neighbors. It is delightful to be back together again with all of you guys across the country, around the world, as we journey through this life together toward hope, wisdom, and joy. And today we're going to tackle the hairy topic of forgiveness or unforgiveness or struggling with unforgiveness. Oh, so difficult when you've been hurt by other people, and we've all been wounded by other people. And sometimes we've been carrying this little bit of resentment, or maybe a whole lot of bitterness, for years, maybe even decades. And we're going to learn how to once and for all deal with this. You know, what forgiveness is and what it isn't. What happens when we stay locked in that prison of unforgiveness, how it really wreaks havoc with us on all levels, not just emotionally, not just relationally, but physically, how it takes a huge toll on your body. We're going to dig up the roots of unforgiveness and find out three main roots of unforgiveness, you know, identify those things. And then we're going to learn how to actually carry out this forgiveness thing in the right way, how we can actually restore some relationships. Maybe not all relationships will be reconciled, but how we can powerfully wield this thing that God says we're supposed to do called forgiveness. So that's all coming up in just a moment. But before we get there, I always like to start out with just a small Bible-based pearl of wisdom for all the wives tuning in today. And actually, I guess this would apply to any woman from any walk of life. I want to talk for just a moment about how to find joy, how to regain some of your joy when you're in a really hard situation, when you're in a challenging time in your life. You know, whatever that challenge might look like, it could be a physical illness, it could be marriage problems, kid problems, in-law problems, financial problems, whatever it might be. And sometimes it does kind of suck the joy out of you, right? And I want to give you just one key to regaining some of that joy, even during hardship. And I know this is going to sound too simple. I know some of you are going to roll your eyes, but just hear me out, okay? A huge key to finding joy during challenges and heartbreak is to focus on the things for which you can be thankful. Stop rolling your eyes. Here's the thing. All of us tend to focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Isn't that the truth, ladies? And when we do that, we become bitter, we become jealous, we become depressed women. How is that working for all of us? Probably not so well. Now, if you really enjoy being bitter and depressed, okay, you just keep on doing what you're doing. But I think there's probably a better way to live. God recommends it in the Bible, actually. It's called being thankful for what you do have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." All circumstances. And this means disciplining your mind to focus on what is good and right and beautiful in your life. God puts it this way in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So, do you have a home? Or an apartment. I mean, you know, a safe place to live. Do you have food to eat every day? Wow, you know, you're in the top 10% of the entire world. Did you know that? That would be something you could be thankful for. Do you have someone in your life who loves you? Could be a husband, a mother, a friend, a child. I mean, wow, that's awesome. Do your legs and hands work? Can you see? Do you still have hearing? You know, thank God for the health that not everyone enjoys. Has God made himself known to you and drawn your heart to him? Awesome. That means he thinks you're special. He decided before the beginning of the world to pick you to adopt as his child. Wow. So much to be thankful for. So instead of making the list in your head about everything that's wrong, what about focusing your mind on being thankful for what you do have? Because you have a lot of blessings. And little by little, you may find your joy returning, even during challenging times. There you go. Well, now we shall tackle unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. I know that we all wrestle with these things periodically, or maybe every day. Well, let's get free of all that, right? And to help us figure out how to break free from the prison of unforgiveness, I invite to the program Bible teacher and author Nan Self. Hello there, Nan.
Hello, Debbie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my privilege to have you on board. I love doing interviews about forgiveness, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, because I believe, Nan, you can tell me if you agree with this statement. I agree. I believe that almost every human being really struggles with resentment against various people that have hurt them, because we've all been wounded. And that resentment wreaks havoc, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And one thing about resentment, the basic word means to re-feel a feeling over and over. And that's what resentment is. And when we carry that around, it's just churning on the inside unless we get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have written a book called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. And you start out the book by telling a little of the story about where you began to have some revelations about this unforgiveness thing, this resentment thing. And it was when you were at a Christian writers conference, and you felt like Jesus asked you a question, why you kept on bringing the burden of unforgiveness to the cross, but never left it at the cross. Okay, so tell us about this question you felt like the Holy Spirit was, or Jesus was asking you, and what happened as you were pondering this question.
Well, it was the weekend before Easter, and they were singing the Old Rugged Cross, and I had my eyes closed, and I just had this vision inside my mind of the cross, and I also saw a large wagon behind me, and it was filled with people and symbols of the pain of my past. Mm. And I knew that the wagon was filled with those who had wounded me. Mm. And the revelation immediately hit me that I had been dragging my past behind me. And, you know, as a Christian, I learned to bring my offenses, as well as the offenses of the others of others against me, to the Lord at the cross.
Right.
And I always felt so good when I forgave. But the Lord asked me a question, and he said, if you are going to bring these people to the cross and these offenses, then why do you not leave them with me? Mm. Why do you say you're going to leave them, and then you come back and you drag them off with you?
Oh, boy, that's a big question and something we can probably all relate to, right? It's like, well, I thought I was leaving it behind, and here it is. I see it's attached to me once again.
Right, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I did have enough knowledge about some practices in the Bible that immediately this reminded me of a very graphic picture of unforgiveness, because when someone killed another person in Old Testament times, the authorities shackle the killer up to the dead body. And the killer was forced to drag the corpse around for at least 3 days. There was no refrigeration. The corpse began to rot, and the stench was foul. And if you think of that as a picture of unforgiveness, we don't realize we're carrying these old stinking things inside of us unless we release them through forgiveness.
Oh, boy, that is quite the graphic and quite the vision, the visual that helps us realize what happens when we continue carrying this thing around. And again, just to lay a foundation here, you know, forgiveness is a central command throughout the Gospels. I mean, Jesus taught about that. You read it throughout God's Word. But can you give us a little bit of a definition of forgiveness, you know, what it is, what it isn't, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it is and what it isn't.
Okay. Forgiveness basically says that it does not proclaim that one person is right and one person is wrong. It says that I will not be your judge. So I will take you to the one true judge and lift you up to the cross, to the Lord, and forgive and release you. But I will not be your judge.
So does that mean, in a sense, then, that you decide that you're not going to punish, you're not going to try to seek revenge, you're going to leave the justice, the judgment to God?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to reconcile to this person, does it? If this person has maybe physically harmed you even, can you forgive without being in a restored relationship?
I think that's true. I think that's true. I'd like to tell you another story
okay.
that will illustrate this, because a lot of people have said, how can I possibly forgive such an offense, you know, whatever the offense is.
Yeah.
And at the end of the wounds chapter, there are two stories. One of the stories is about a woman who came to a church where I was attending that Sunday, and she told the story of her daughter being raped and murdered.
Oh.
And she said that he also raped and murdered her roommate, which meant another family lost their daughter.
Mm.
Then he beat up the man that tried to rescue the girls.
Wow.
And so he had been apprehended. He was in jail. There were trials and various things. And one day, well, first of all, this lady did say that it took her 5 years to even think about forgiving him,
mm-hmm.
and then it took her 7 years to forgive. But during the 7 years, though, she was crying out to God one day. She was driving in the car. She was crying out to God, and she said, God, how can I possibly forgive him for what he did? And she says that God spoke to her out loud, audibly, in the car, and said, you do not have to forgive what he did, but you do have to forgive him.
Ooh.
And she immediately knew that the grace was that you separate the offense from the offender.
Ooh.
And so she did, in her mind, her heart, and her spirit. So she went to the other family that lost a daughter and told them that she had decided to forgive the man who had killed her daughter. And then she also went to the man who was beaten up, and she said she had decided to forgive the man. And both of them thought about it, and they said, we're going to forgive him too.
Wow.
So there was a program at the prison where he was incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was able to go and sit with him face to face. And she told him that she forgave him. And she said when those words came out of her mouth, she has never in her life felt so free inside.
Wow.
And so she was just joyous when she left. And 2 weeks later, he was put to death.
Oh, my.
So it is separating the offense from the offender. If you say, how can you possibly forgive? You separate the offense from the offender, and God will give you that grace to do it.
And again, this is so important because, well, first of all, God instructs us to forgive, but also you point out in the book that there are some devastating consequences if we refuse to forgive. Practically, naturally, like in your physical body, there are consequences of unforgiveness. Can you explain that?
Yes, because, you know, really when you think about it, our life emanates from our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe personally that you ultimately forgive with your heart. Well, your heart is a major, major, major organ in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we hold on to unforgiveness, we can have all kinds of consequences. And I list just a few of the consequences of unforgiveness in the book, such as depression, anxiety, doubt and unbelief, ingratitude,
mm-hmm.
sickness,
mm-hmm.
impatience, slander, drivenness, bone problems and arthritis. Those two things can emanate from bitterness.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yes, and then of course we have fear, anger, resentment, rage, pride, judgment, guilt, abuse, passivity, envy, etc.
Wow. And, you know, interestingly enough, a lot of those things that you talked about in and of themselves are not a physical ailment, but those things often lead to a physical ailment. I mean, if you look at how bitterness ends up causing depression, depression is linked with physical problems in your body. So it's like it's a downward spiral if you don't address this thing called unforgiveness.
Yes, it's absolutely. It is the key to health and wellness. Mm-hmm. It is the key to having a good life.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay, so pretty important. And there are different people we have to forgive. I mean, the one that, of course, comes to mind is people that have wounded you. Okay. But you also point out in the book that some people struggle with forgiving God.
Yes. Well, it's not that God did anything that we need to forgive him for, but it's our perception. It's our perception. Was he not there for one of your relatives or friends that had a terrible incident? You know, it's the perception that we have of God. We do not need to forgive God because he did anything. But many times we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness toward God because of things that have happened in our lives or the lives of our friends, our loved ones, our coworkers, people that we know. And That's what you need to forgive.
And in this case, then, for those who say, you know, that is where I'm at, I mean, now that you pointed out, I think I am kind of angry with God, and I have, like, this feeling of resentment almost that God did not prevent my loved one from getting cancer or whatever the thing is. Now, how do you walk out that forgiveness?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to see the progression. It starts with unforgiveness. If the unforgiveness stays, it can turn to bitterness.
Right.
The bitterness can turn to resentment. The resentment can turn to anger.
Yeah.
The anger can turn to rage. The rage can turn to hatred. And if this cycle is not interrupted, then the hatred can turn to murder and lawlessness. And this is where we are in our world and in our country. We have got to begin walking in forgiveness, talking about forgiveness, doing forgiveness every single day. You will always have many opportunities to forgive.
Oh, yes. That is for sure. And one other facet of forgiveness, and this is one that's kind of interesting because it really isn't directly mentioned in the Bible, but often you'll bump into people who say, I can't forgive myself. And the Bible doesn't explicitly say anywhere that I've found, man, that we're supposed to forgive ourselves. So, but you do have a whole section in the book about this. So can you explain that?
Well, I can share with your listeners some of my personal story.
Yeah.
Is I grew up in a family with a lot of overachievers and a lot of perfectionists, and so I was continually criticized. And the danger of receiving a lot of criticism and not really knowing what to do with it is you turn it upon yourself. And so when I started into forgiveness, I had so much to forgive myself for all of these things that I was holding in my heart against myself.
Wow.
And I learned many years ago that there is a name for that. It's called the unloving spirit.
Oh.
And you do not want the unloving spirit. You want to get rid of the unloving spirit by taking all of these things to God, asking him to nail them to death upon the cross, asking him to give you any hardness or criticism towards yourself in your heart, ask him for a new heart, a new heart of acceptance and love and peace. And
awesome.
Then the wonderful thing is you can ask him to meet the needs that were not met for you as a child, the needs of unconditional love, acceptance, worth and value, security, recognition, nurture and emotional nourishment, and comfort. And I discovered some of those needs personally, but I also discovered those needs by working with children. I am a retired play therapist, and I worked with children, and I saw these needs that were not being met. Well, God is just waiting to meet every single person's needs. All you have to do is ask. Mm-hmm. He will do this for you. Mm-hmm. It is His grace.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. You know, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, Nan, let's talk about the three main roots that lead to unforgiveness, and we're going to spend some time unpacking these roots, these three main roots, because, again, we have to dig this thing up by the root, or it's just going to keep on growing back, right? So let's tackle that in just a moment with my guest, Nan Self. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace.
She's a pastor's wife, and she's committed to tapping into biblical wisdom to find redemption from all of life's challenges. The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's Bun Buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and it's made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Real estate is complicated. This is Lori Jo Smith at Coldwell Banker Bain, and I would love to talk a little bit about the process of real estate and the usefulness of having a knowledgeable, dedicated agent on your side. When you're doing some real estate in this market, especially this particular market, which is a seller's market, you want to look for an agent with knowledge, communication, good negotiating skills, good navigation through the process. These are essential to make it a positive experience, and you need somebody who knows how to do and handle these things. My clients do appreciate the 20 years of knowledge and experience I bring to the table. They also appreciate the patience, the troubleshooting, the problem solving, and the strong communication skills I bring to. You can find me at LoriJoSmith.com. I'd love to chat with you.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez.
I developed a free online daily devotional for wives, a blog for wives, because marriage is challenging. So many wives, especially Christian wives, wondering what in the world they're supposed to do when their husband is not meeting their expectations, maybe seriously disappointing them, sometimes, tragically, even abusing them, and they don't know what to do. So I dug into the Bible and decided, let's find out what God says about these things.
Whether you're experiencing resentment towards your husband or just want to obtain a greater level of intimacy with your man,
I invite you to check out my daily online devotional at theappreciatedwife.com. That's theappreciatedwife.com. It's a super quick read, but I think you'll be greatly inspired and guided by the Lord. TheAppreciatedWife.com.
You are essential, not accidental, and you should realize you are beloved. I wanted you to know you are beloved. Let it soak into your soul. Oh, forget the lies you heard.
Back on the program with Bible teacher and author Nan Self. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. Okay, in the book, Nan, you say that there are three main roots that lead to unforgiveness. So what are these three roots? And then we'll go back and kind of unpack them. But what are the three roots?
Well, the first root is pride.
Okay.
That's the first root of unforgiveness. And it can be anything like an unreasonable opinion of your talents, your looks, your career, your accomplishments. Pride manifests itself by erecting walls to keep other people out or by judging and comparing yourself to them.
Okay, so we'll unpack that in a little more depth here in a second. The second root of unforgiveness, you say, is wounds. I mean, obviously the wounds that we've encountered. And then the third you say is bitter root judgment. Give a quick explanation as to what that is, and then again, we'll go back and unpack these. But what do you mean bitter root judgment?
Okay. A bitter root judgment is a judgment that a person makes at some time during their childhood. It may be totally subconscious. They may not realize it. But they judge their mother, their father, or their caregiver for something.
Oh, interesting.
And it goes down deep into their heart. And then at some point in their life, because of the law of sowing and reaping and the law of judgment, they condemn themselves to do the very thing that they judged in their parents.
Ooh, okay, we're going to have to definitely unpack that one in more detail here in a second. But let's go back to the first one, which is, again, pride, you say, is one of these bitter roots, which is so interesting because you wouldn't think that really would have anything to do with unforgiveness and resentment. But pride is kind of subtle, isn't it? Like, it's kind of like that thing like, hey, I deserve a better treatment. Is it that kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely. Pride is... It's a very interesting word. It's got I in the middle of it. And our culture is so geared to pride. And I'm not talking about being proud of a job well done or, you know, achieving an award or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about concentrating on your outward appearance, your outward situation, and not looking inside your heart. And that's what divides people. Pride can really divide people. And the tendency of pride, if it goes to the very end of itself, then it becomes idolatry.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. And here's another interesting thing you point out, because we're digging up all these roots, right? And you say that there's actually a root of pride that goes even deeper, and that is fear, that a major root of pride is fear. Okay, so help us understand that connection.
Well, let's think about, okay, first of all, pride is an interesting thing, and many people have unreasonable pride. Why do they have unreasonable pride? Because they are afraid that they can't compete in a certain situation. They are afraid that they will not be accepted in a certain situation. They are afraid that they will not be able to achieve the goals that they have. They are afraid that they will, that their needs will not be met, that they are helpless to meet their needs. See, they're not turning to God. They're looking to self, self, self. And that is not the answer. God is the answer.
Oh, man. You know, you can just, now that you're pointing this out, it does become a little clearer that pride thing, which is often very subtle, we don't think of ourselves as being prideful. But if you have those thoughts like, I don't deserve this, I deserve people to treat me better, blah, 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 blah. And then we trace it back to fear, like, hey, you know, I'm actually afraid that I won't be accepted, that I won't be loved, that I'm not going to be important or significant to someone or whatever these things are. I mean, it all becomes a little clearer. And then the remedy for all of this is humility, I take it?
Yes.
Okay, but that's hard. I mean, let's just be honest here. I mean, we know we're supposed to be humble, but that's really hard, isn't it?
Well, you know, I have this saying for myself. You know the scripture, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you find humility very, very difficult, you remind yourself that you indeed are humbling yourself under God's mighty hand, not a person's mighty hand. You are obeying God and humbling yourself under His mighty hand. Then you will be rewarded, not under a person.
Okay. So that is the remedy for that one root of unforgiveness. But let's go to that really interesting one, that bitter root judgment business. And in the book, you talk about the three laws of bitter root judgment, and I think you gave an example or two also. But help us grasp this one a little bit further and maybe help us identify what we might be carrying around in terms of these bitter root judgments.
Okay. You know, it's real interesting when you find out about bitter root judgments. You think, oh, well, what kind of list would I ever make if I was thinking of a list about, you know, family members and friends? So you have to look at repeated problems that you have with people who are important to you, like, do you ever feel abandoned, rejected, betrayed, or you left out of conversations and activities. And the main law of the Bitterroot Judgment is one of the Ten Commandments, and it's Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you.
Yes.
So that, to me, is the main law. But, you know, many people have said to me, well, what in the world does a Bitterroot Judgment look like?
Yeah.
So I have a very short list.
Okay.
These are just a few.
Okay.
But if you judge a parent, then you might end up doing these very things.
Mm.
So being critical, being emotionally unavailable, never being satisfied with what I do, never being able to please the other person, being a workaholic, abandoning myself, never having enough time for me, not giving me enough affection, if a parent was a martyr, if they were cold and insensitive, they never listened to you and gave you time and attention, they watched television or hooked up to some kind of device all of the time, they are coercive or manipulative. So this is just a very short list. All of those can be Bitterroot Judgments. And I remember when I first made a list of Bitterroot Judgments, it took me 3 weeks. And I know that one of the reasons that it took me so long was I didn't want to start the list because I was concerned that I would be rejudging my parents. But I realized through God's grace that, no, this was about me taking responsibility.
Yes,
my judgment.
Oh.
So, and then also, you know, it's also, Debbie, that kind of scale. If you ask forgiveness on one side, then you are responsible to do your part on the other side. And so it took me a while to make that list. But I can tell you I've done this for many years, and I have made many lists. And every once in a while, God will show me something in a relationship, and it will just be like there's this impression in my spirit, this was like your mother and father. And so then I have to ask forgiveness of mother and father. Then I have to ask forgiveness of the difficulty in the relationship.
So in terms of identifying our own bitter roots, you say look for patterns or habits in your own life that have brought you fear, doubt, rejection, heartache, jealousy, anger, because those patterns could be, again, stemming from judgments that you've made against your mother or father?
Yes, absolutely. And I do want to say one more thing, because, you know, thank the good Lord, we all have mothers and fathers, and some of them have passed away, and it does not matter if your parent has passed away. The judgment that you started on the earth, you have to take it to the cross. Just because they're gone does not mean that the judgment is gone.
Now, let me ask another clarifying question, because you're saying, you know, you have this judgment against your parent. But, okay, let's just use an example. Let's say you had a parent that was extremely verbally abusive, let's just say. They were always just, you know, telling you you're lazy, good for nothing, blah, blah, you know, whatever. Okay, now you have a judgment against them that they were verbally abusive. Well, they were. I mean, that is a fact. So you're not saying to ignore the fact. I mean, is that is that a wrong judgment to say, well, they were verbally abusive? I mean, help us understand. I mean, we're not dismissing or pretending this didn't happen, right?
No, no, Debbie. We are not in denial.
Okay.
This is about taking assessment of your life and what has happened to you. And God is with you in this situation. He will bring his grace into the situation. But no, if the fact is that you have been verbally abused, then you want to forgive whoever verbally abused you, and you take that abuse to the cross. You ask God to put it to death, deprive it of all life, and then you ask for a heart that can forgive this person, and you receive that by faith.
Okay. So So you're not in denial about these things that your father or mother, you know, did or did not do, right? You're not in denial, but you're not holding it against them, in a sense?
Yes, you're giving it to God,
okay.
And you're saying, okay. God, release me. And then there's another step, I think, is I have to release myself. I have to release myself because I was damaged through this situation.
Ooh.
And so that's why forgiveness is so wonderful, Debbie, because it is about letting go of the past so that you can live in the present and look forward to the future. And all of us want to live in the present. We want to look forward to the future. And remember the corpse? We don't want to drag the corpse around in unforgiveness.
Right.
Because it stinks and it creates a lot of problems emotionally, psychologically, and physically.
Absolutely. You know what? Let's take our final break. And when we come back, we've talked about these first two major roots of unforgiveness. We've talked about pride. We've talked about the bitter root. But let's talk about wounds. You say this is the third root. So let's expose that, deal with that one in just a moment with my guest, who is Nan Self. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace.
Debbie invites you to take advantage of tons of resources at faithplace.org. You'll find a daily video devotional and special resources for singles, women only, and men only.
Are you having a problem getting reliable internet service at your home or business? Are you disappointed with the company currently providing your internet connection? Maybe it's time that you check out an alternative company that's attracting a growing number of customers. StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. And StarTouch has now expanded into Oregon as well. Learn how to contact them for a free quote by clicking on the StarTouch logo on the sponsor page of faithplace.org. StarTouch Broadband Services.
StarTouch Broadband Services.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
The Carolyn Merriman Show. Featuring licensed therapist, Carolyn Merriman.
I'm talking today about sexual healing after abuse. Usually, the sexual healing from someone who's been abused has to follow some other foundational kinds of beliefs. Now, even if you're just raised in a dysfunctional family, before you can make much progress on any of the repairing things from a dysfunctional family background, you need to know that you have value. You really have to know you've got some support out there, that you're worth it, and a desire to heal and a willingness to do the work on it.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
Don't know the story of tomorrow.
Final minutes with Bible teacher and author Nan Self. Her book is called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. All right, so we've talked about these two first roots of unforgiveness, pride and the bitter root judgment. But you say the third root is wounds, which and you say in the book that sometimes we don't actually realize that we have these wounds.
Exactly. We don't realize that we have these wounds. It's real interesting. God's process, his timing is always perfect. Mm-hmm. And when you need to know about wounds in your life, that's when he is going to educate you about wounds in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into the study of wounds from having a ruptured appendix.
Oh.
And that's not something you want to do.
No.
But I saw how meticulous the wound care was. It was a stepwise process. You had to go through these periods of healing, and then there would be, you know, different kinds of medication. Mm-hmm. There would be suturing. There would be cleansing of the wounds.
Yeah.
And all of this is a process. But there really are several kinds of wounds. One is just a surface wound. You know, mm-hmm. someone says they'll do something for you, and they forget to do it, and you're disappointed. But it is an opportunity for you to forgive them and release them. And then there are wounds that are bruises, and we all know about bruises. We've all, you know, fallen down yeah. and hurt our knee or something, and there was a bruise there. And the example that I give was a man in that came to the house a lot during my childhood. He was friends with my mom and dad, and he always made these very strange comments about, you know, how I looked or how I was growing up. And when I was little, it made me sad, but he kept on doing it as I matured into a woman.
Yeah.
And it made me angry. And so if you've got a bruise and it's not completely healed, and you see that person again, that bruise can feel like someone touched it and
yeah.
it hurt.
Yes.
And it hurts. Mm-hmm. But the real bruise, the real wounds, are the ones that are deep, and they're repeated, like the person that you just talked about who might have verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a very, very, very difficult situation. And but God is, he is grace. And he is our wound healer. And so what happens is, spiritually, now this is in the spiritual sense, not necessarily in the physical sense, but I think that God is the one who delights in performing spiritual surgery on our heart.
Yeah.
And he will send us a scripture. He will send us a friend. Someone will pray for us. And we'll begin to get on the path of healing. And you know, in the chapter on wound care, I do talk about how you stop the bleeding of the wound by naming your feelings and giving your feelings to God. Mm. And I was one of those people that did not do this. I didn't even know what my feelings were. Mm. And I got into counseling. That's why I eventually became a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important to name your feelings and not to run from them.
You know, that is a really interesting point right there, because sometimes we just don't want to examine this very closely because the event usually was a painful thing anyway. It's like, I don't want to have to even think about how I feel. I just, but it is important, isn't it? I mean, is that almost essential to recognize the feelings that are, you know, deep, deep, deep feelings about this thing?
I really think it is. I really think it is. And when I'm a retired counselor now, but when I would counsel, I would even bring play therapy into my counseling with adults. And I used to say to them, you know, first of all, many of them had children, and I said, one of the greatest gifts you can give your child is to give them a feeling vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you give them a feeling vocabulary? You have to start naming your feelings. And you let them see you name your feelings. So then what you do is you lean in to the feelings.
Uh-huh.
And you don't run from them. And that lessens the impact of the feeling. If you will lean into God with your feeling, he will be there for you.
So you basically, even though your tendency is to run from the feelings, you're saying actually almost let yourself feel these feelings, you know, ask God to be present with you, and that's part of the healing journey?
It is. Hmm. Being willing to be there with your feelings and God with you, that is part of the healing journey.
Hmm. Hmm. You know, I have to mention before we're out of time here, and we have about 5 minutes left, but you also talk about the prison of passivity, being passive in this whole process, I guess, of dealing with an injustice, a wound, something that someone did to hurt you, you know, whether it's an emotional hurt or whatever. What do you mean, the prison of passivity?
Okay, the prison of passivity. This is my definition for passivity. Letting others choose for you, emotions choose for you, circumstances choose for you, the enemy choose for you, or the past choose for you. In other words, you're presented with a situation or a choice, and you do not make the choice. You do not make the choice and stand by your decision. So what happens is, every time you refuse to make a choice that's important to your life, there is a bar that goes down into cement, and it's a bar in the prison of passivity. Well, it doesn't bother you because it's just one bar. But then you come to another decision, and you don't make the decision, and then another bar is put down in cement. And you go in and out and in and out, and you're not bothered. And then one day, you do not know that this is the last opportunity you're going to have to make a choice. And you just blow it off. You do not choose. See, to not choose, Debbie, is to be passive.
Mm-hmm. And so then you remain stuck in the unforgiveness, right?
Yes. Yes. And so they go together. So if you're stuck in unforgiveness, you can end up in the prison of passivity. So it just goes down one bar at a time. Mm-hmm. And so after the last bar goes down, you are in prison. Well, you got into that prison slowly.
Yeah.
And you are going to get out of the prison slowly, one decision at a time. Mm.
So let's talk about that. How do you get out of the prison of passivity?
You begin to look at your life, and you begin to make choices, and you begin to stand by your choices, and you come out by being diligent. Mm. Diligence is the antithesis of passivity.
So give us an example of what that would look like. Let's just go back to that, child that was verbally abused by mom or whatever, in childhood, and hasn't really dealt with it, maybe in the prison of passivity. Okay, so what decisions day by day do they make to get out of that prison?
Well, first of all, they ask God to reveal to them where he wants them to start, because God always has a starting place. This is a journey. Every journey has a starting place. Okay? So that you go to God and you ask him to begin to show you exactly where you're passive. And you realize that you've been stuck, he's going to begin to show you. Passive people do not speak up. Busyness is a real tool of passivity. It's a real tool of passivity.
I bet. Because then you don't have to feel any feelings or deal with anything.
Absolutely. You can just say, oh, I'm fine. That's called denial. Yes, I am fine. And there are so many things. Diligence helps you walk out of passivity. Now, let me tell you what a diligent person is.
Okay.
They are decisive, steady. They are attentive. They are not idle. They're not negligent. They are careful. They make decisions. They are awake and alert. They stand on the word of God. They stand with God against anything that would keep them in prison.
Yeah.
And they're productive. They inherit the promises of God. They do not fear their enemies. They speak up. They keep their heart. Now, that is very important. That's the last chapter. A kept heart brings life.
And you know what? You just have to give us one sentence on that one because we're out of time. But what's your one sentence about this heart business?
God is the one who can show you how to keep your heart. He wants the ground of your heart to be receptive to him. And you do that by confessing and repenting and looking to God.
All right. Ooh, well, we covered some territory today, didn't we, Nan?
We did, Debbie.
Thank you so much for helping us better understand this whole idea, not idea, this instruction, this command that we forgive others. Thank you so very much, Nan. And we do have a couple of copies of this book to give away. If you'd like to receive a free copy, go ahead and email producer@debbychavez.com and then ask for the book Forgiveness by Nan Self. As we have available copies, we'll see if we can get one to you. Until we connect again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him.